Let's please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Where here it is, January 1st, 2020, new decade, new year. And as we do, try to, about this time of year, have a little prophecy update. And so in Matthew, Jesus rebuked the people of his day, the scribes and Pharisees, the people that were rejecting him. Because although they saw so many things that Jesus was doing and preaching that was going along with what the prophets said would occur, they weren't getting it. They weren't actually seeing the prophecies being fulfilled in this man that stood before him, this God-man that stood before him, Jesus. And so they said in chapter 16, verse 1, says, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. So let's turn to Luke chapter 24, 25. So Jesus rebuked his people. You know, you can do a old technology weather report and look at what's going to be happening in the future, but you can't look at the Word of God and see all the things that were being fulfilled through Jesus and know, why are you asking me for a sign? The sign was the virgin conceived and gave birth, and I was born in Bethlehem, and all the other things that were going on, all fulfilling dozens of prophecies, and you want another sign. And I was reading Dr. David Jeremiah's new book, started to. He's got a new book on Revelation. And he starts out using the analogy, which he does, you know, great wisdom, you know, that when we're on a road trip, we like to know the signs, you know. You like to know what you're trying to get from point A to point B, and you need to know where the state line is so that now you're in this area, and how many, you know, you look at the mileposts. Okay, I'm this many mileposts on the interstate, and I know that I have to take the exit on this milepost. You know how close you're getting, and then you need the road signs. You need the addresses on the house. You need all that. And what the world is doing, apart from biblical prophecy in a spiritual way, is they're just driving down roads. Maybe this road will take me someplace I want to go. You know, I'll try the drugging road. I'll try the immorality road. I'll try the get rich and live high on the hog road. You know, they're trying all these roads. Every single road we know, according to the Word of God, any one of those roads leads to destruction. And And another thing, when you plan a trip, you go from point A to point B, but what do you also like to do? You like to know where the hazard areas are, don't you? This is danger. What time of, when is it going to be happening in the winter? Or is there going to be hurricanes or storms or whatever? You want to know what those hazards are. You don't just go blindly on a trip. And God gave us all the hazard signs, all the warnings, all the places to turn, all the places not to turn, do not go here, etc., etc. And when the church, because to me the signs are everywhere that we're in the last, and you would think the church would say, wow, we have to really, really double down on understanding what God has said and double down on our walk with him. Instead, the church has abandoned, in the 45 years I've been a Christian, I've seen it from being into prophecy to now abandoning the quotation mark church, abandoning prophecy. And so that's what was happening with the religious people of Jesus' day, and he rebuked them for it. Luke 24:25, he rebuked people that were close to Jesus, believed in him, because they didn't believe, they believed part of the prophecy that was going to be good for them, God's going to set up his kingdom, but they don't want to believe the part that Jesus had to die. In Luke 24:25, the two men on the road to Emmaus, he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So let's turn to Romans chapter 1. He rebuked them because he said, if you would have sat down and carefully studied the prophecies of the Old Testament to us, you know, them, it was all they had. If you would have carefully studied the scriptures, you would have known. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, all these other places, you would have known that the Messiah doesn't just come and set up his kingdom. He has to suffer first. Well, the same thing can happen to us. We can pick and choose what we want and not understand the big picture. You know, we can just say, okay, rapture. I like the rapture. That's all I care about. Everything else, forget it. You know, there's some other things. Study to show yourself approved. Go out and be a great part of the Great Commission. Everything else. The reason why he's left us here is to evangelize, not to just hunker down, etc., etc. So over the years, there's so many different voices about prophecy out there. So which one's true? This is going to be a premillennial, pre-trib, dispensational look at scripture. And recently a friend of mine is kind of toying around with other preterism, which is, or partial preterism, which is belief that these prophecies of the last days really were all fulfilled back when Rome conquered Jerusalem in 70 AD. I said, I'll call him Joe. I said, Joe, I mean, everything that I believe as a dispensationalist, looking at this as the dispensation of the church, and we're going to get worse and worse according to the way I look at scriptures and the dispensation. Then there's going to be the dispensation of tribulation and the apostasy and the kingdom of the Antichrist that's still yet future. Everything in scripture that I see supports that. Nothing, the history around us is supporting that view. How can you be thinking that Satan was locked up in everything in 70 AD when the church was birthed and the church is going to take over the world and everybody's going to be evangelized, and when everybody gets evangelized with the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the work of the church, then Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom? If I believed that, if I'd been taught that and believed that, I'd be looking around and go, something's wrong. It's just not happening. But see, the dispensational view, what we're going to be teaching here today, all these things that premillennial dispensational teachers have been saying for decades are only further supported by the events that are happening all around us. And they're escalating. And pretty much all the dominoes are set up, in my view. So what I said on Sunday, and I'm going to do, I'm going to work off of Jan Markell's newsletter of December 10th, 2019, where she had the top 10 Bible prophecy stories of 2019. And she mentioned I could have gone 100, but I'm just going to do 10, and we're not going to do all the 10. I've kind of rearranged the order. So the first one that she had was, the last year has seen a rise of Romans 1 behavior and thinking, the explosion of strong delusion, and the increase in the hatred of God. Can we all say, yeah, that's what's happening? And what is Romans 1? So let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18. We're not going to cover all the verses here because, you know, this should all be familiar to you. So she's saying the rise of Romans 1 behavior. Well, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And let me stop there, that the rest of the chapter is talking about the events that lead to the wrath of God. Now, according to biblical prophecy, when is the final wrath of God upon the earth? Tribulation period. So we would expect that if Romans 1, because, you know, there's been the signs of Romans 1 stuff throughout history, but it's never been so global as it is now. And it's never been so escalating and taking over the thinking of the entire world as it is now. So there's been a country here and a country there that do Romans 1, but it seems like the whole world is this time. And so here's the encouragement to us, is if we see the examples of like what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, where it went universal and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and then were destroyed, if we start seeing the world, the whole world, getting to the point of being like Sodom and Gomorrah, then, and that's a tribute, and that is begging for the wrath of God upon all ungodliness, and we know we're not destined for the wrath of God, then we should see, as the world is getting close to the point where God's going to be pouring his wrath for these things, then we're going to be gone. The church is going to be raptured off of the planet. And as I've said many times, there's no stopping this train. You can see where it's going. It's only going to get worse. And so here's the other thing for us. Until Jesus takes us off this planet, we're going to be like Lot. We're going to be in a society that is in hatred against God, going after the immorality of the things of Romans 1 we're about to read. And we want to be like Lot in saying our souls are vexed day and day. And we want to be unlike Lot to let our families be so affected that what we saw happen when the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where, you know, the angels couldn't get anybody out of there besides Lot, his wife, who turned around. Don't want the wife to turn around and look at Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't want the girls to go into incest with their dad. You know, so this is how bad it gets. And we have to double down to make sure we don't let it get into our families. So, verse 22, skip to verse 22. Professing to be wise, these people that reject God and reject his word, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, fulfilled in the evolutionary dogma that's throughout the world and fulfilled in the idolatry that's throughout the world. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, because God doesn't make us believe. So he goes, okay, yeah. There's going to be a time where he just gives them up. You hate me, you hate my word, you hate my people, you want to live in immorality. And so he just gives them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. The diseases, the consequences, the emotional damage that leads to massive suicide. See, as soon as man exchanges the truth, I'm a man, not a woman, for a lie, I'm a woman, and then all of a sudden things happen to me, would happen to me, that it corrupts my very nature. And we're seeing that in our society. We see it. And instead of people saying, man, why should I believe a lie about who I am, and when it does such damage to myself? And it says, receiving in themselves a penalty for their which was due, going to verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, and they experience some of that even in their own life with the diseases they get, like I said, and just the emotional trauma they experience, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And who do they disapprove of? Those who don't embrace it. And so I was just talking to somebody that's been, you know, a political activist, tried to get the bathroom bill turned around, you know, to where a boy's room is a boy's room, a girl's room is a girl's room, you know, and all this other stuff. And she was just bemoaning how in our, the people that are trying to hold back the curse in our society in this, because what the current fight is this comprehensive sex education that's going to be mandated in the state of Washington. Absolute perversion. Absolute, total perversion. And what they're experiencing is nobody's interested in trying to turn it around. It's just they're finding very few people, very few pastors, or anybody that will let people know, make some calls and everything else. And I told her, I said, you know, probably a lot of it is, we couldn't even get a bathroom bill. We couldn't get a boy's room should be a boy's room, and a girl's room should be a girl's room. And as I tried to collect signatures, and I realized that was my big wake-up call as to how bad things have gotten, is, you know, people with strollers, husband and wife with strollers and kids, and would you like to sign this to keep bathrooms safe for your women and your children? What's wrong with you? You know, I'm the problem. And I mean, just like, phew, man, I'm out of touch with how bad things have gotten. And we couldn't get most of the citizens in the state of Washington turn that around. And so I said, it's almost like the fight's lost. And I said, but keep telling me. I'm going to tell the church. I'm going to get educated on this comprehensive bill. I'm going to try and turn around, because if we don't fight for righteousness, then it is all over. It's just going to be gone. And turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:6. It's going to be a while before we get there. But we can see from the verses in Romans 1 that the people are going to get to the point where they have no fear of God and they can't be witnessed to. Because they have exchanged the truth for a lie. We see that happening. And the wrath of God is going to come when it happens. And this time it's global. There is no... instead of a couple of cities going this way, it's going to be the world going this way. And these are Jan's words under the item where she said that this last year has seen the rise of Romans 1 behavior and thinking, the explosion of strong delusion, increase of hatred of God. Here's her examples. There is a collective shrug over things like drag queen story hour. All through the country, there's been, it must have been a concerted plan, some cooked in hell someplace, where let's just call up the library, say, I'd like to teach kids. I'd like to do story hour and read a library book to some kids in the library. Oh, okay, come on in. They come in and drag. They're transvestites that are dressed in drag, and not just regular, I mean just gaudy drag, sometimes goat horns, you know, to be completely demonic. I mean completely satanic. Now, if that would have happened 20, 30 years ago, and the parents show up with story hour, they would have just like freaked and run out. And all over the country, parents have no problems with their children listening to story hour with a drag queen reading the story. And not only that, there were some instances where then, okay, the story time's over, let's wrestle kids and play on the... And one of them was actually a known pedophile, and the parents didn't have a problem with the kids wrestling around and goofing around on the floor of the library with the drag queen. And God is looking. He says, the wrath of God is coming on all unrighteousness. And there's a stupor in our society that is just permeated to people aren't, where's your brain on what's happening to your kids by listening to this? So that's one. A 6'5" male won the Woman of the Week award at the University of Montana. And then she says, strong delusion. And I'm going to emphasize the time she says strong delusion. Millions of free Americans long to have our country succumb to socialism. And some are praising Marxism, again, in irrational delusion, because you can tell them every place that's been tried, the people go into absolute total suffering decay. I don't care. I want it. You know, so there's an irrational delusion that's coming over us. The Western world now has a rabid hatred of God that would be unexplainable had the Bible not warned us that the last days would be characterized by this sentiment. First Europe threw God out, and now America is close to it. This is again, delusional thinking. Wow, look at what happened. What was Europe like when it had a total fear of God and great universities teaching people and equipping them for the mission field and everything? It flourished and prospered as a people. And the same thing for America. And we saw what happened to Europe when they threw it out, and all the churches are turning into mosques over there. We saw what happened. And then we're doing it. That's delusional. Seminary students in New York are praying and confessing sins to plants. How else can these things be explained other than the pouring out of a strong delusion and reprobate mind thinking in these last days? She has links to these articles about praying to plants, so I went to the link, and this is what the link said. Absolute theological bankruptcy. Union Theological Seminary students confess climate sins to plants. You know, that we're sinning against the planet, and we're going to confess to plants our sins. And so this is in the WashingtonExaminer.com, September 18, 2019. Students at Union Theological Seminary prayed to a display of plants set up in the chapel of the school, prompting the institution to issue a statement explaining the practice as many on social media mocked them. And then this is their explanation. Today in chapel, we confess to plants. The nation's oldest independent seminary declared Tuesday on Twitter. the oldest seminary in America. Together we held our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, and sorrow in prayer, offering them the plants, offering to these plants, the beings who sustain us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. So these plants sustain us. Not God. I'm in a seminary. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. He gives me my breath. I sing out my praises to him. You know, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And yet now I go down to the worship of the planet and I say, this plant gives me my oxygen. It's what sustains me. And that goes on. And then this is the college, defending their position. So what do you confess to the plants in your life? And imagine when God rebuked his Jewish people for their foolishness of worshiping idols. As he looks down and he says, you're my sustainer because you give me oxygen through photosynthesis. Oh, how did that happen? How did photosynthesis? They're offending God. And his wrath is going to come. And to the extent that his wrath comes while we're still here, we're going to be experiencing it. And I emphasized, and I hope this really sticks, when it comes and people think we're the problem, to just bring them back to the fact you don't understand, you're offending God. You need to repent and you need to come to him. This wrath is coming from God because we have rejected him. 2 Thessalonians 2:6, it talks about this delusion. See, she kept emphasizing delusion here. She didn't go, all these verses, by the way, are not in her handout. I'm just adding them. It says, in 2 Thessalonians 2:6, and now you know what is restraining the coming of the Antichrist he's talking about. And I'm going to say, we can't get into a study of 2 Thessalonians 2, but we're restraining. We are hated because we're slowing the process down for global government, global religion, worship of the planet, everything else. We're the ones that are sending, something to the Washington or to the students of the Union Theological Seminary. What are you doing praying to plants as a seminary? We're the ones saying, we're mocking them. What are you doing? We're the problem. And we're going to be taken away. And when we're taken away, the planet is going to go like gangbusters towards the final delusion. And you know what is restraining the Holy Spirit in us, the church, seeing the road signs, telling them you're going down the wrong road, that he, the Holy Spirit, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Amen. I mean, that's what we're seeing. That's what we're talking about. The lawlessness is already starting. That's going to be culminated in the coming of the Antichrist in his kingdom. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way, the rapture of the church. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is in accordance with the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. I want to emphasize that for later on. Satan is going to inspire this world leader and the people that follow him with power to give signs and wonders to deceive the people, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The love of the truth. God so loved the world, he sent Jesus to save us from sin, to give us everlasting life if we believe and trust in him. Oh, get your Jesus out of here. Get your Bible. Get your God out of here. We're going to worship the planet. They rejected that because they're going to perish because they wouldn't believe, wouldn't receive the love of the truth that they could be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, if the Bible tells us in this road sign The Antichrist comes and then is given great powers to deceive people. And because they did not love the truth, they're going to be given over to a strong delusion. And we already see the beginning days of strong delusion. And we are seeing strong delusion, insane delusion coming. And we see it globally. Then we see that we're seeing the beginning of what's going to happen. What's restraining it is us. And we're about to be taken away. And then there's going to be unabated delusion and signs and wonders that are going to come from the Antichrist. So I'm saying the more we're going to see this turning away from the truth, believing a lie, and us talking to them. And when we talk truth, it goes through the air. Satan flips their little brains and says, oh, that's a lie. And, and the truth becomes a lie. And when they speak a lie to them, it's the truth. And when we see that happening, oh, we're getting close. We can't get upset. We can't go nuts. We just realize, oh, we're getting close. This is all fulfilled. You're fulfilling prophecy. Thank you. Why? What do you say? Because you're delusional. So, Jan's article, going to the next item, which isn't, that was her first one that we finished covering. But number 8 is the effects of globalists are advancing in the last year. Now, some would debate that. Some would debate that globalism is advancing in the last year. Why would they say that? They would say that globalism is not advancing because, and actually it would be 3 years ago, Trump won instead of Hillary. And they would say, well, Brexit happened. It actually happened in England. And Brexit, Britain is out of the European Union. And the nationalists are going to take over. And so we're going to thwart global government and its march to global domination of the kingdom of the Antichrist going to 10 nations around the world. But see, we have a roadmap saying that's what's going to happen. So when we see this temporary, people pushing back, those that are restraining, that are pushing back and they say, we know where this is going and we're against this. And who do the Democrats, the leftists, the socialist communists in our country, who do they blame for Trump getting into office? Who do they blame? They blame conservative Christians. See, you're restraining what we need global government. And you're restraining. Well, pretty soon the Lord's going to take us out of the way and they're going to have their global government. Hurrah. And they might even get it before then. And then it says, Pope Francis, this is what Jan says, Pope Francis continued to beat the drum for globalism. And we know that, dispensational prophecy teachers have been saying the Antichrist is going to have a right-hand man who's going to be the false prophet. And people have been predicting as long as I've been a Christian, 45 years, it's going to be the Catholic Pope that's going to be this fulfillment of the false prophet to the Antichrist. And he is, the Catholic Church is fulfilling this role to the T. But it's not full-fledged yet because we're still restraining. It's still not happening. There's still people that believe the Bible. They're going to be taken away. But he is championing the cause. Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu continue to represent the nationalist mentality. And the globalists are trying to run both of them out of office. Is that happening? Yes. In fact, just today, Netanyahu declared immunity, which he's legally allowed to try and get from the Knesset so he can rule the nation instead of going to trial for just trumped up charges. In more ways than one. They're just charges. They're doing the same thing to get rid of him. He's restraining. Is Netanyahu a God-fearing person that doesn't want his country to be falling into the globalist agenda? Absolutely. Does Trump espouses? I have friends that think Trump's just playing us, but it seems he's sincere, and he doesn't want us to be going down, marching down the road of the globalist agenda. Those two people are going to be a temporary bump in the road, a little road bump, speed bump on the road to globalism because of what the signs of the Bible say. Whether we like it or not, I could hope it's going to change, but it's not. Ultimately, they're going to succeed. The United Nations called for global government in less than 12 years. Europe cries for no borders, and liberals in America decry borders. They can't stand there's a border between Mexico and anybody else that hates us, anybody else in all of the world. Come to Mexico, come across our border. We want it to happen. Again, you have to be delusional when you think about the consequences of what happens to a country when it loses its national identity, which is what you need to happen to create a global government. You need to have people, you can't be having people wearing a red hat that says, make America great. No, you need to go down so that the whole world can be great because we're a whole world global government. See, as soon as you understand what the Bible says is going to happen and you understand the delusional thinking of the globalists, you understand why people want to fight somebody with a Make America Great hat on. They're being deceived by Satan to the utopia that's promised them by global government, even though, if you're not deceived, you realize it's going to end badly when you have a guy at the top of a global government who's possessed of Satan and kills half of the planet. A lot of people say, well, that's good. We want to get the world's population down to 500 million. And I go, great. Here's a gun. Start with you. They think that, oh, yeah, save the planet. They think that somehow they're going to qualify to be part of the 500 million when they have to kill 6 billion. The world continues to long for a single leader to make all things right as well as for global government. How it could be expedited in this year? There's one news source you might look at. He doesn't use verses of the Bible. I'm not even sure he has any affinity for it. But it's alt-market.com, and he predicts that the bankers are playing us. They're pumping the billions of dollars a week to keep the things propped up because they're running out of cash. It's been going on since September. And they want this nationalism fervor to go with Trump and with Brexit. And then they're at the opportune time, they're going to pull the plug on the economy and blame it on the nationalist mindset. And therefore the goal will be people when they're starving and in food lines and, you know, being issued their digital currency at pennies on the dollar of what was their assets before and all these other things. And they're saying, well, if it wasn't for the nationalists, if it wasn't for what happened to the economy when Britain came out of Europe, it wasn't for just Trump, you know, make America great and forget about everybody else with these tariffs and all this other stuff that created all this havoc. If it wasn't for them, we would have been okay. And then the world will say, give us global government or give us death. Instead of give us liberty, instead of give us death, there will be no restraint. Nobody who wants to be a nationalist will even be allowed to come to the party. And so that they're thinking, he's thinking, and that makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know how it's going to happen. God knows how it's going to happen. But it could escalate this year if we have a financial collapse. Also, technology is undoing the Babel effect. What kept us from being a global government is we have all these languages, right? And if any of you listens to Saul Spady early in the morning on Tuesday, he's a talk show host, conservative talk show host on 770. And I was listening to him and he goes, yeah, you know, he's into technology. He's talking about virtual reality and everybody's going to have one. That's how people are going to be candidates in the future. They're going to have, instead of being in a town meeting, they're going to be on virtual reality with all their constituents, and it's going to be a wonderful way of communicating, and it'll probably be the way the Antichrist will communicate. But before that, he was saying, I was in Florida on the beach before he got married. I guess he must have recently got married. And he said, oh, there's a pretty woman next to me. And I said, hi. She didn't say anything. You know, I started making conversation. She didn't say anything. And then she turned to somebody she was with and spoke in Russian. And he could tell it was Russian. He goes, oh. Grabbed his phone. He goes, hi. You know, whatever else he said, and did on Google Translate. You know, he just spoke in English, Google Translate, hi, you know, want to go to lunch or whatever he said. And he said, and then we had 3 days together with just Google Translate dating. And so, can you imagine? The whole world now can communicate without having to learn one another's languages. All you have to do is go into Google Translate, which is only going to get better as AI increases and as 5G increases and all the other things that are being done technologically. People will be able to communicate. You look at the UN and people are speaking into each other's ears. People will be able to put on a virtual reality and it will automatically, through 5G, everybody's language will be compressed through Google Translate, and they'll just be able to listen to anybody speaking any language, listen to everything in the world. The Antichrist will be able to communicate to the whole world, no problem, with the technology that's available. The third one, in the last year, we have seen a rise in a new world religion. So, what do you think the new world religion is?
Climate.
That's what she says. And climate. And, you know, and I'm going to take us on a little rabbit trail here because global religion is a big deal. And let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And part of it is the planet, but part of it is also what I was already saying, the global religion that the Pope, when the Pope's not pushing global government, he's pushing global religion, as we're going to see in a quote that I just picked up from an article today. World religion is hand in glove with world government. Daniel chapter 2 and 7 and Revelation 3 through 19 prophesy that in the last days, there will be a 10-nation global government. And global government needs global religion, doesn't it? You can't get everybody happy in their global community if everybody's saying, my religion's the truth. No, my religion's the truth, and start war. So they need to replace fundamentalist religions with a global religion, something to get everybody's passions towards together. And what better way then to worship the planet and to have, oh, poor planet, I got to pray to your plants and I got to tax carbon. I got taxing carbon, by the way, that's global. So now you have a global taxation system and everybody's go for it because we got to save the planet as our religious fervor. So this is a well-planned. This global climate change stuff is a well-planned, orchestrated by the Satan-inspired, deceived people of the world, elitists of the world, to sick upon us. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, we're not going to get into the details of this, but after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Jesus will be crucified. The Messiah will be crucified, and can't explain the 62 weeks, but not for himself. He died for us. And the people who the prince who is to come, the people of the Antichrist who is to come, which were the Romans shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the Antichrist will come out of a revived Roman Empire that goes global. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, for 1 7-year period of time, 7-year tribulation. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So, and here's the deal. And turn to Isaiah 28:14 while I'm explaining this. So the beginning of the tribulation starts. The last 7 years of human history before Jesus returns starts when the Antichrist enforces a covenant with many nations for 1 7-year period of time. Now, this is usually taught by prophecy teachers that this is going to be a covenant that is a peace treaty to alleviate the hostilities between Israel and its neighbors. I completely disagree. I've taught that. I disagree with that. And the reason why is because of keeping all, when Jesus says, he taught them all the prophecies. If you carefully look at all the unfulfilled prophecies, then you see that there's coming wars in the Middle East that have never been fulfilled. Those wars are going to eliminate all of Israel's immediate neighbors. Psalm 83, Isaiah 17. And that's going to be followed shortly after with another war where Russia and Iran and Persia and Sudan and Libya and Turkey all come against Israel. And that time, God destroys them. And when that war is over with, and this is going to be before the tribulation period starts, Israel doesn't have any problem. They don't need a peace treaty. This covenant, I believe now, and Bill Salas helped me with this too, I think this covenant is going to be a commandment by the world government. Everybody has to not call their religion the only religion. Nobody can be a fundamentalist. And they're going to make an exception for Israel, which is going to allow Israel to say, behold, the Lord our God is one. and they're going to be allowed to build their temple, and they're going to be allowed to do their sacrifices there in the temple, which is, that's fundamentalists doing sacrifices. And you can even see that because in Daniel it says, and then, but halfway into that covenant, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. See, it's not like he's going to then go to war with them. It's that he's going to stop this religion that was being allowed by the covenant. So, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14, again, Bill Salas in my conversation years ago kind of opened my eyes to something I had missed. He says, Isaiah says, God says, therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. And I think he's speaking to the people right now. Because, or in the near future, I should say, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, which is another term for the grave, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Okay, Antichrist, we think you're our Messiah. And we'll make a covenant with you. If we recognize you as the Messiah, we'll make a covenant with you if you let us build the temple and do our Mosaic sacrificial system for the first time. And that way the scourge that's going to come, that's going to rid this planet of everybody who demands to still stay true to what they believe, that the scourge comes through, not going to touch us. Then it says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for the foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Who's that? That's Jesus. So you guys are going to make a deal with the Antichrist, devil. I'm telling you, I'm going to put the real Messiah, and he's going to be the cornerstone. Also, verse 17, again, jumping into the future to us. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding places. Your covenant with death will be annulled. I think, and again, with the help of Bill, I think that's the Antichrist saying, you know what? I changed my mind. And your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. The covenant will be broken with the Antichrist. And the global religion of the Antichrist, which was made Israel the exclusion, is going to be no more in effect. Anybody that wants to stay a Jew and do all this other stuff, they're going to be killed and wiped out by the Antichrist. And there's other verses that support that. So turn to Revelation 6, 7. And where are we going with this? The more we see the world going away from exclusive fundamentalist belief in truth, and even to see the Muslims turning away from fundamentalism, it's a lie, but they're being berated for being fundamentalists. And everybody's being berated for being a fundamentalist in your religion. That's a sign that the global religion is being formed, which is a sign that the covenant is coming that's going to make that happen, and anybody that's still on the outs that's going to be on the planet is going to be killed. Revelation 6, 7, the fourth horseman and opened the fourth seal of the tribulation period. I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, behold, a pale horse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth, the scourge. The scourge of total elimination of people that are not conforming to the New World Order. I read an article today that was quoting a guy that, one FBI guy was able to infiltrate the underground back in the, when the communist socialist underground was happening in America in the colleges, and like Bill Ayers and others that helped Obama. Obama started his campaign, and Bill Ayers, a terrorist, American terrorist. Did I get that name right? Bill Ayers? Yeah, I think so. And he sat in the meeting, and they were talking about how they're going to have to eliminate the people that aren't going. And he goes, what do you mean eliminate? Well, like kill them. How many do you think that's going to have to be? 25 million. When global government comes, it's going to be a complete cleaning house. Just like when Stalin brought government, oppressive government to Russia. He killed 20 million of his people. When Mao Zedong came, took over China, same thing, possessed of Satan, hates people. He took over tens of millions. I think it was 50 million total. Is that right? Is that a good number?
Between
50 and 100 million Chinese died who would not go along with the socialist communist agenda of a madman. And so, this explains the Pope's role in unifying the religions of the world. Here's an article called Upside Down. Pope Francis discourages evangelism. December 31st, 2019, yesterday. How many of you read that article? And what the author is Michael Snyder. And this is at prophecynewswatch.com. And he says, but what he has just said, he lists all the things that the Pope's been saying lately that are just crazy, even for a Catholic Pope to say. And he says, but this one tops it all. According to Breitbart, Pope Francis told a group of high school students that he was visiting with that they should never try to convert others to Christianity. Don't ever try and tell somebody to believe in Jesus. Pope Francis told Christian high school students this week they should respect people's other faiths and not attempt to convert them to Christianity, insisting we are not living in the times of the Crusades. Asked by one of the students Friday how a Christian should treat people of other faiths or no faith, the Pope said that we are all the same, all children of God, and that true disciples of Jesus do not proselytize. In fact, the Pope went on to say that if anyone comes to you and is trying to share the gospel, that individual is not a disciple of Jesus. Now, and see, when the Pope speaks, a billion people listen. A billion people listen. Well, again, their gospel is a different gospel anyway. But I mean, to a fundamentalist Catholic, they'd go, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? You need to be kicked out. But that's not happening. I would rather believe that than what I've been taught in catechism over the years, because everybody is being swayed into this deception of global religion. But listen, the gospel is never, ever advanced through proselytism, he continued. If someone says he is a disciple of Jesus and comes to you with proselytism, he is not a disciple of Jesus. Proselytism is not the way. The church does not grow by proselytism. So now think about this, because this will get big news, and there will be some fundamentalists that will be fighting against it. Others are going to say, now that's what I think. And as soon as you go tell somebody about Jesus, they go, oh, the Pope warned me about people like you. They could be a Protestant, raised in a Protestant church, or just Joe Schmo, but they're going to hear about you're a curse. You're not even a true Christian if you're trying to tell me about Jesus. In a related article that I put out on the table last week, Pope Francis just stated that fundamentalist Christians are a scourge. So so this is what Jan says. The religion of worshiping the planet, I'm going to conclude. The religion of worshiping the planet also becomes a global religion. So we're looking at global religion. We just looked at, there is going to be a global religion. It's going to be, you can't be a fundamentalist. They're going to let the Jews do it. There's going to be a covenant of death that's going to come. There's going to be a covenant enforced by the Antichrist, which is everybody gets along from now on because we're all global and nobody can be offending their neighbor. And if you don't agree with that, well, we got a solution for you. And that's going to come, and they're going to make an exclusion for Israel to allow them to build their temple, which is going to be shut down 3.5 years in the tribulation. But also, there's a need for climate, for Mama Earth to be part of that global religion. And this is what Jan Markell says. The Pope of climate change has announced a global crisis. So will climate be the pathway to the new world order? I think so. The new world order must have a crisis. It will ultimately be the rapture of the church, but before that, their sky is falling with perceived rising temperatures. How does an autistic teenager take the world by storm just for having a climate temper tantrum at the UN in September? Now, everybody heard about this. You know, Greta Thunberg, 16 years old. And at 16 years old, she goes and she's put with her braids that goes all along with the Nazi youth issues of, you know, the 30s and 40s. And she gets up there and goes, climate is the problem. And she's now Time Magazine Person of the Year. See, the globalists that are in charge of all the media and all the propaganda apparatus that's global is now forwarding this thing. It's time. They're saying it's time. We have got to turn this into the global religion. We got the Pope saying don't be a fundamentalist. We got saying if you are a fundamentalist, you're a curse to the world. The world is that we need to start praying to plants. The planet has to be the religion of the world. And we are going to use all the media and prop up this demoniac to just go and spout her propaganda off to the world. Greta Thunberg, going back to Jan Markell's article, was named the successor to Jesus Christ by her home nation of Sweden. And you can click on the link in her article. She's the second coming of Jesus because she's going to save the planet. Understand, she has a machine behind her, a globalist climate alarmist machine, and this kind of radicalism is becoming a global religion. It will be a major component of the coming one world religion. Does that make sense? Yeah. If I was planning global government for the world, I would say, yeah, you got to have a global problem. Instead of having a national problem, you need a global problem. Get everybody to pay a global tax. I read a book back years ago, decades ago, called The Iron Mountain Report, written in the 60s. It was a think tank group coming up with what do we have to do to get from a nationalistic mindset to a global mindset. And you know what they advocated? Pollute the planet so that you can create a problem that's a global problem, then get the people to go and solve that problem, which gets them out of their nationalist problems, so that they can, and we'll use it as a taxation method. And here it is. That's, I think it was 62 it was written, somewhere around there in the 60s. And now look at us. This many years later, it's exactly what we see happening. The globalist agenda is here. And, yeah, we didn't even get to Israel yet, which means we're going to have to do a little part two tomorrow, next week. But this is another thing. Somebody just sent me, Deborah sent me, thank you, Deborah, a interview with Rosa Kaur, K-O-I-R-E, UN Agenda 2030 Exposed. And she is raising the alarm because she got in and saw the planning of how people are going to be controlled during the coming global government. Your rural communities are going to be forbidden. They're going to force people into concentrated living centers so that they can control the people. It was called Agenda 21. They're behind schedule because of people restraining, you know, Christians restraining this. And so now it's called Agenda 2030. So their plan is to have it implemented by 2030. She keeps on referring to it in the interview as Agenda 21. And I've been to China, where we were able to go as tourists from Shenzhen, which is right across the border from Hong Kong. And we were on the train to go to Guangzhou. We were allowed to leave because we're tourists. But when we get to the city's, you know, surrounded by checkpoints, and unless you have permission as a Shenzhen citizen to leave Shenzhen, which might be never in your life, unless you have permission, you can't get on a bus to go through one of the checkpoints across the road. And so when we got to it the first time, these two guys came on, fingers on the trigger guards, safeties off, machine guns, walking on, I want to see your papers, you know. And everybody, all the Chinese had to show their papers that I have permission to leave this city. And then they get off the bus because they didn't find anybody that they had to shoot or detain or take off the bus. And then we're allowed to go. And Google is working with China. We have presidential candidates that accolade China's control of its people, wanting to be president of the United States. Somebody's asking me if they were... I was going to talk about the Virginia gun laws. The governor of Virginia and the attorney general are promising to disarm every citizen that doesn't turn in their guns that are in violation now of the new law that got passed. And you have to disarm the citizens before you do this kind of global control stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Virginia. and who was behind the redistricting. They changed the map with Blumberg's millions and with his millions pouring into the different candidates to take over, to be able to ensure the House, the Senate, and Virginia all got taken over in the last election. And now they are rapidly turning Virginia, if you can believe it, thinking back to the Civil War, turning Virginia into the example state of how to disarm the citizens of a state. And we'll be watching that probably unfold in the ensuing weeks and months to see what happens. Whether, and there's people saying that Trump will have to call in the National Guard, will have to call in the military to counter the National Guard that was called up by the governor of Virginia. So, because we're not done, because I do want to get to Israel, but we'll do it next week. We're getting close. We can see the evil people, their plans, which used to be hidden in the back rooms and working in getting people into the media, getting people into the education, getting people into the military. Let's get all of our ducks in a row before we spring this on the people. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. They know that they just have to tip over these dominoes and get rid of those Christians. Just get rid of these people that are restraining us from getting into this utopia world. And God's going to help them. Isn't that cool? God's going to help them get rid of us. And that's so cool. And I'm looking forward to that. And you should be too. But our brothers and sisters are dying in the China gulags, in their concentration camps in Western China. And also what they're doing is they go, oh, you Christians, you're healthy. And they're harvesting kidneys and other organs out of them to go to Chinese people that are good comrades. So imagine our sisters and brothers are having operations forced upon them. And you want to argue about it? Oh, we'll take both your kidneys. Yeah, just, it's crazy time. And God's seeing what's happening. And he knows when he's going to call his church home. And by the grace of God, it's going to be before too much crazy stuff happens here. But we're all prepared no matter what, right? Let the world do what it's going to do. Our Jesus has safely promised us safe passage to heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. And we do pray as these things come upon us that you would keep us from fret. Keep us from worry, Lord, because there's nothing to worry about. Because we know that this is not our world, that we're aliens passing through, just pilgrims, and that, God, you would help us to double down in our affections towards you, to stay in your word and to read these road signs and to rejoice that our King is coming and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. for Jesus overcomes the world. For Jesus overcomes the world.
And we're His. As long as we keep that front and center, we'll be a servant of His until He does come. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your fellowship together until we can fellowship again.